Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amori. Moab was very afraid of the people because there were so many of them. Moab was overcome with dread because of the people of Israel. So Moab said to the leaders of Midian, "This horde will lick up everything around us the way an ox licks up grass in the field." Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Petor by the Euphrates River in his native land to tell him, "Listen, a people has come out of Egypt, spread over all the land, and settled down next to me. Therefore, please come and curse this people for me, because they are stronger than I am. Maybe I will be able to strike them down and drive them out of the land, for I know that whomever you bless is in fact blessed, and whomever you curse is in fact cursed." The leaders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the payment for divining, came to Balaam, spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, "Stay here tonight, and I will bring you back whatever answer Adonai tells me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. The people who came out of Egypt have spread over the land. Now come and curse them for me. Maybe I will be able to fight against them and drive them out." God answered Balaam, "You are not to go with them. You are not to curse the people because they are blessed."
Balaam got up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Return to your own land, because Adonai refuses to give me permission to go with you." The princes of Moab got up, returned to Balak, and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Balak again sent princes, more of them, and of higher status than the first group. They went to Balaam and said to him, "Here is what Balak, the son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything keep you from coming to me. I will reward you very well, and whatever you say to me, I will do. So please, come and curse this people for me." Balaam answered the servants of Balak, "Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Adonai my God to do anything great or small. Now please, you too, stay here tonight, so that I may find out what else Adonai will say to me." God came to Balaam during the night and said to him, "If the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you."
So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger flared up because he went, and the angel of Adonai stationed himself on the path to bar his way. He was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of Adonai standing on the road, drawn sword in hand. So the donkey turned off the road into the field, and Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel of Adonai stood on the road, where it became narrow as it passed among the vineyards and had stone walls on both sides. The donkey saw the angel of Adonai and pushed up against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beat it again. The angel of Adonai moved again and stood in the place so tight that there was no room to turn either right or left. Again, the donkey saw the angel of Adonai and lay down under Balaam, which made him so angry that he hit the donkey with his stick. But Adonai enabled the donkey to speak, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "It's because you've been making a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you on the spot." The donkey said to Balaam, "I'm your donkey, right? You've ridden me all your life, right? Have I ever treated you like this before?" "No," he admitted. Then Adonai opened Balaam's eyes so that he could see the angel of Adonai standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. The angel of Adonai said to him, "Why did you hit your donkey three times like that? I have come out here to bar your way because you are rushing to oppose me. The donkey saw me and turned aside three times. And indeed, if she hadn't turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and saved it alive." Balaam said to the angel of Adonai, "I have sinned. I didn't know that you were standing on the road to block me. Now therefore, if what I am doing displeases you, I will go back." But the angel of Adonai said to Balaam, "No, go on with the men, but you are to stay only when I tell you to stay." So Balaam went along with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him in the city of Moab at the Arnon border, but in the farthest reaches of the territory. Balak said to Balaam, "I sent more than once to summon you. Why didn't you come to me? Did you think I couldn't pay you enough?" Balaam replied to Balak, "Here, I've come to you, but I have no power of my own to say anything. The word that God puts in my mouth is what I will say."
Balaam went with Balak. When they arrived at Kiriat Huzot, Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep, then sent to Balaam and the princes with him. In the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. From there, he could see a portion of the people. Balaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams here." Balak did as Balaam said. Then Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your offering, by your burnt offering, while I go off. Maybe Adonai will come and meet with me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." He went off to a bare hill. God met Balaam, who said to him, "I prepared the 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar." Then Adonai put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Go on back to Balak and speak as I tell you." He went back to him, and there, standing by his burnt offering, he with all the princes of Moab, he made his pronouncement. "Balak, the king of Moab, brings me from Aram, from the eastern hills, saying, 'Come curse Yaakov for me, come and denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How am I to denounce those whom Adonai has not denounced? From the top of the rocks I see them, from the hills I behold them. Yes, a people that will dwell alone and not think itself one of the nations. Who has counted the dust of Yaakov or numbered the ashes of Israel? May I die as the righteous die. May my end be like theirs." Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? To curse my enemies is why I brought you here, and you have totally blessed them." He answered, "Mustn't I take care to say just what Adonai puts in my mouth?"
Balak said to him, "All right, come with me to another place where you can see them. You will see only some of them, not all, but you can curse them for me from there." He took him through the field of Sophim to the top of the Pisgah range, built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offering while I go over there for a meeting." Adonai met Balaam, put a word in his mouth, and said, "Go on back to Balak and speak as I tell you." He came to him and stood by his burnt offering with all the princes of Moab. Balak asked him, "What did Adonai say?" Then Balaam made his pronouncement. "Get up, Balak, and listen. Turn your ears to me, son of Zippor. God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Lord, I am ordered to bless. When he blesses, I can't reverse it. No one has seen guilt in Jacob or perceived perversity in Israel. Adonai, their God, is with them and acclaimed as king among them. God, you brought them out of Egypt, gives them the God who brought them out of Egypt gives them the strength of a wild ox. Thus one can't put a spell on Jacob. No magic will work against Israel. It can now be said of Jacob and Israel, what is this that God has done? Here is a people rising up like a lioness. Like a lion, he rears himself up. He will not lie down till he eats up the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." Balak said to Balaam, "Obviously, you won't curse them, but at least don't bless them." However, Balaam answered Balak, "Didn't I warn you that I must do everything Adonai says?"
Balak said to Balaam, "Come, I will take you now to another place. Maybe it will please God for you to curse them for me from there." Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the desert. Balaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Balaam said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased Adonai to bless Israel, he didn't go, as at the other times, to make use of divination, but looked out toward the desert. Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped, tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he made his pronouncement. "This is the speech of Balaam, son of Beor, the speech of the man whose eyes have been opened, the speech of him who hears God's word, who sees what Shaddai sees, who has fallen yet has open eyes. How lovely are your tents, Yaakov, your encampments, Israel. They spread out like valleys, like gardens by the riverside, like succulent aloes planted by Adonai, like cedar trees next to the water. Water will flow from their branches. Their seed will have water aplenty. Their king will be higher than Agag, and his kingdom lifted high. God, who brought them out of Egypt, gives them the strength of a wild ox. They will devour the nations opposing them, break their bones, pierce them with their arrows. When they lie down, they crouch like a lion, or like a lioness. Who dares to rouse it? Blessed be all who bless you. Cursed be all who curse you." Balak blazed with fury against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said, "Balaam, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but here you have done nothing but bless them 3 times already. Now you had better escape to your own place. I had planned to reward you very well, but now Adonai has deprived you of your payment." Balaam answered Balak, "Didn't I tell the messengers you sent me that even if Balak would give me his palace full of silver and gold, I could not of my own accord go beyond the word of Adonai to do either good or bad. That what Adonai said is what I would say.
Now that I am going back to my own people, come, I will warn you what this people will do to your people in the Acharet Hayamim. So he made this pronouncement. This is the speech of Balaam, son of Beor, the speech of the man whose eyes have been opened, the speech of him who hears God's words, who knows what Elyon knows, who sees what Shaddai sees, who has fallen, yet has open eyes. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not soon. A star will step forth from Jacob, a scepter will arise from Israel, to crush the corners of Moab and destroy all descendants of Sheth. His enemies will be his possessions, Edom and Seir possessions. Israel will do valiantly. From Jacob will come someone who will rule, and he will destroy what is left of the city. He saw Amalek and made this pronouncement. First among nations was Amalek, but destruction will be its end. He saw the Caini and made this pronouncement. Though your dwelling is firm, your nest set on rock, Cain will be wasted while captive to Asher. Finally, he made this pronouncement. Oh no, who can live when God does this? But ships will come from the coast of Kittim to subdue Asher and subdue Eber, but they too will come to destruction. Then Balaam got up, left, and returned to his home, and Balak too went his way. Israel stayed at Shittim, and there the people began whoring with the women of Moab. These women invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, where the people ate and bowed down to their gods. With Israel thus joined to Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai blazed up against Israel. Adonai said to Moshe, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them facing the sun before Adonai, so that the raging fury of Adonai will turn away from Israel. Moshe said to the judges of Israel, each of you is to put to death those in his tribe who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Just then, in the sight of Moshe and the entire community of Israel, as they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting, a man came from Israel, came by, bringing to his family a woman from Midian. When Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon the Kohen, saw it, he got up from the middle of the crowd, took a spear in his hand, and pursued the man from Israel right into the inner part of the tent, where he thrust the spear through both of them, the man from Israel and the woman through her stomach. Thus was the plague among the people of Israel stopped. Nevertheless, 24,000 died in the plague.
Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who selected good prophets and was pleased with their words, spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, who serves Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
Micah 5:6 is where I'm beginning. Then the remnant of Jacob, surrounded by many peoples, will be like dew from Adonai, like showers on the grass, which doesn't wait for a man or expect anything from mortals. The remnant of Jacob among the nations, surrounded by many people, will be like a lion among forest animals, like a young lion among flocks of sheep. If it passes through, tramples and tears to pieces, there is no one to rescue them. Your hand will be raised over your enemies. All your adversaries will be destroyed. When that day comes, says Adonai, I will cut off your horses from among you and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and lay waste your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your land. You will no longer have soothsayers. I will cut off your carved images and standing stones from among you. No longer will you worship what your own hands have made. I will pull up your sacred poles from among you and destroy your enemies. I will wreak vengeance in anger and fury on the nations because they would not listen.
So listen now to what Adonai says. Stand up and state your case to the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Listen, mountains, to Adonai's case. Also, you enduring rocks and support, enduring rocks that support the earth. Adonai has a case against his people. He wants to argue it out with Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the life of slavery. I sent Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam to lead you. My people, just remember what Balak, the king of Moab, had planned, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened between Shittim and Gilgal, so that you will understand the saving deeds of Adonai. With what can I come before Adonai? To bow down before God on high. Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves in their first year? Would Adonai take delight in the thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Could I give my firstborn to pay for my crimes, the first fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Human being, you have already been told what is good and what Adonai demands of you, no more than to act justly, to love grace and mercy and walk in purity with your God.
Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, who has given us Messiah Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the apostolic scriptures. Amen. The first reading is from Romans chapter 11. Verse 25.
For, brothers, I want you to understand this truth which God formerly concealed but has now revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is that stoniness to a degree has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters in its fullness, and that it is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come forth the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sin. With respect to the good news, they are hated for your sake, but with respect to being chosen, they are loved for the patriarch's sake. For God's free gifts and his calling are irrevocable. Just as you yourselves were disobedient to God before, but have received mercy now because of Israel's disobedience, so also Israel has been disobedient now, so that by your showing them the same mercy that God has shown you, they too may now receive God's mercy. For God has shut up all mankind together in disobedience in order that he might show mercy to all.
The next reading is from 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2.
But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them, the true way will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their punishment, decreed long ago, is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. For God did not spare the angels who sinned. On the contrary, he put them in the gloomy dungeons lower than Sheol to be held for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world. On the contrary, he preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, and brought the flood upon a world of ungodly people. And he condemned the cities of Sodom and Amorah, reducing them to ashes and ruin as a warning to those in the future who would live ungodly lives. But he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the debauchery of those unprincipled people. For the wicked deeds which that righteous man saw and heard as he lived among them tormented his righteous heart day after day. So the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to hold the wicked until the day of judgment while continuing to punish them, especially those who follow their old natures in lust for filth and who despise authority. Presumptuous and self-willed, these false teachers do not tremble at insulting angelic beings, whereas angels, though stronger and more powerful, do not bring before the Lord an insulting charge against them. But these people, acting without thinking, like animals without reason, born to be captured and destroyed, insult things about which they have no knowledge. When they are destroyed, their destruction will be total, and they will be paid back harm as wages for the harm they are doing. Their idea of pleasure is carousing in broad daylight. They are spots and defects, reveling in their deceptions as they share meals with you. For they have eyes always on the lookout for a woman who will commit adultery, eyes that will never stop sinning, and they have a heart that has exercised itself in greed, so that they seduce unstable people. What a cursed brood. These people have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam ben Beor, who loved the wages of doing harm, but was rebuked for his sin. A dumb beast of burden spoke out with a human voice and restrained the prophet's insanity. Waterless springs they are, mists driven by a gust of wind. For them has been reserved the blackest darkness. Mouthing grandiosities of nothingness, they play on the desires of the old nature in order to seduce with debaucheries people who have just begun to escape from those whose way of life is wrong. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, for a person is a slave to whatever has defeated him. Indeed, if they had once escaped the pollutions of the world through knowing our Lord and Deliverer, Yeshua the Messiah, and then have again become entangled and defeated by them, their latter condition has become worse than their former. It would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than, fully knowing, to turn from the holy command delivered to them.
Okay. Corinthians 1. All right. Corinthians 1, chapter 1, 19 to 30. Indeed, the Tanakh says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. Where does that leave the philosopher, the Torah teacher, or any of today's thinkers? Hasn't God made this world's wisdom look pretty foolish? For God's wisdom ordained that the world, using its own wisdom, would not come to know him. Therefore, God decided to use the nonsense of what we proclaim as his means to saving those who come to trust in it. Precisely, because Jews asked for signs and Greeks tried to find wisdom, we go on proclaiming a Messiah executed on a stake as a criminal. To Jews, this is an obstacle, and to Greeks, it is nonsense. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, this same Messiah is God's power and God's wisdom. For God's nonsense is wiser than humanity's wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than humanity's strength. Just look at yourselves, brothers. Look at those whom God has called. Not many of you are wise by the world's standards. Not many wield power or boast noble birth. But God chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the strong. And God chose what the world looks down on as common or regards as nothing in order to bring to nothing what the world considers important. So that no one should boast before God, it is His doing that you are united with the Messiah, Yeshua. He has become wisdom for us from God and righteousness and holiness and redemption as well. Therefore, as the Tanakh says, let anyone who wants to boast, boast about Adonai. And as Jeremiah would say, may God add blessings to His word.
This is the Torah which Moses placed for the children of Israel. It is recorded with the last man by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is to those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of blessedness, and all its paths are peace. Long life is in his right hand, and in his left are riches and honor. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness, to render the Torah great and glorious. When the ark rested, Moses was saying, return, O Adonai, to the areas of Israel's families. Arise, O Adonai, to your resting place, you